We're turning to the Gospel of John and to chapter 16. The chapter 16 of the Gospel of John, and my subject this evening is good cheer from Christ for a people under pressure. We're going to read from verse 25 of that chapter 16 of the Gospel of John. "These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. At that day you shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loveth you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father, and am come into the world again. Again I leave the world and go to the Father. His disciples said unto him, Lo, now speakest thou plainly, and speakest no proverb. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. Jesus answering them, Do ye now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Amen. May the Lord bless this reading from His precious word to all of our hearts. I think I don't exaggerate when I say that dark and gloomy days are upon us here in our province. I speak of things spiritual. And I speak to those who are spiritual and who will know the truth of what it is I have just said. But dark and gloomy as these days may be, the words of the Lord Jesus in this last verse of the chapter, and this is our text, indicate that there is a peace of heart and mind which may be enjoyed by believers in the most adverse of circumstances. This land of ours is, I believe, under the frown of God and His stroke is upon us, and it's felt by many. There is many aggrieved, a heartbroken, a disconsolate child of God throughout this land. Many. Perhaps here in Kilskerry we don't realize how many. And I say this, and I hope I will not be misunderstood. I think that you and I here in Kilskerry have found much relief from the distress that many others are carrying without relief, for the simple reason that we have enjoyed the freedom of opening up God's Word and looking at what is happening in this country and hearing what it is God has to say to us about it. And that has brought much relief. It does not end our concerns and our anxieties and our perplexity, but it gives us understanding to a larger degree and is a source of support in this hour of vexation. But my heart goes out, and it's one of the reasons why we have endeavored to publish whatever it has been said here and write articles related to what has been said here in recent times concerning the state of affairs in our country. our heart goes out to those who are not getting this aid and this assistance. It is a shepherd's task to hear the bleating of the sheep and to respond to their cry. That is what a shepherd's heart will ever press upon him to do. I cannot understand how a shepherd can see distress amongst his people and not respond. You remember David, and of course he was a type of our Saviour. When he saw a lion and a bear attacking his flock, he flung himself at those great beasts. He didn't sit around and work out whether or not this could result in him getting injured. He didn't think like that. But the instinct of the shepherd overrode every other consideration. And they rushed to battle with that which was threatening his sheep. And he rescued the lamb that was in the very jaw of the predator, and thus brought relief to the sheep. May the Lord be pleased to continue to minister to us all from His Word and bring relief to us. Because you know, if God does not give repentance and a returning unto Him within this country by His people, then the darkness can only deepen. And the weight of His stroke upon His church become all the heavier. All the heavier. We preach that God's people might take heed and that they might return unto the Lord, repenting of their turning aside from Him. However matters may turn out in this province of ours, I have the highest hopes, I really do, that they will turn out well. Gloomy as the day may be, I believe I see the hand of God at work. I see in the distress of God's people. I don't imagine illusionary figures in the darkness. I don't look out and pretend I see wonderful things about to happen that are not there. That seems to be the fault of some. But I look at what is happening. I look at the distress that God's people is presently passing through. And I see in that path that which gives me hope. I see God using this distress to turn His people back to Himself. I see Him delaying, possibly to do the things that we would wish Him to do, in order that more and more people might be rescued. Therefore, I see hope. But as I say, irrespective of how things may turn out, the believer may nevertheless enjoy tranquility in the midst of it all. That tranquility is to be experienced through a resting in the Word of God. A resting in the Word of God. The psalmist in Psalm 119 and the verse 92 said this, "Unless Thy law had been my delights, I should then have perished in mine affliction." What rescued him? What buoyed him up in the midst of his afflictions? The Word of God. It was his delight, and it kept his head above the waters and enabled him to survive. Dear child of God, please make the Bible your life belt. Make the Bible your flotation aid in these stormy times. The troubles that have come upon our country, upon the Church of Jesus Christ, stem, I believe, to a large degree, from the setting up of the coalition government of Stormont. And it stems from that because that coalition was set up in defiance of the Word of God. That's why we have distress amongst God's people. That's why we have this high level of vexation. And there is a depression upon many a heart and many a spirit because of what has taken place in the setting up of this coalition. Now, I'm very conscious that all that we say here in Kilskerry is monitored. Now, we don't in the least worry about that. We put our sermons on the air for people to listen to. We don't mind being monitored. I'm used to it. When we started off the work in Lisbalaw, and some of you will remember this, and that's a long time ago, it was testing your memory, but it wasn't unknown for special service or special branch officers to come in with wee tape recorders and record Free Presbyterian meetings, hoping that they would say something that would result in a charge being brought up against them and them appearing in a civil court. It's not the special branch that's spying on us now, though perhaps they listen in. May God bless them if they do. But our words are being monitored. And if I could just address the one who maybe now at this moment, in the future, if you can follow my meaning, will be listening to what I say. God bless you, brother or sister. I hope that the rest of what we have to say will do you good. But the chances are you're not hearing it, otherwise you wouldn't be monitoring in the fashion you are. But to return to our text. Though this situation in Ulster causes much anguish of heart amongst God's people, nevertheless, we are to enjoy and ought to seek after cheerfulness of heart. So says the Lord Jesus in our text. Look at it. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And I want quickly tonight just to delve into that sumptuous text and extract from it what I trust you will find to be riches of God's grace. First of all, notice, simple truth, but nevertheless an important one. Please note that peace may only be found in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only source of peace in this world. The only source of peace. Look at what he said. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. Nowhere else will you find peace. Not found in the United Nations. Not going to be found at Stormont. It's not going to be found at Stormont. And the days that will dawn upon us will prove that to be so. No. Peace of every kind is found only in the Lord Jesus Christ. In me you might have peace. Now this is the very essence of the gospel message. It points men and women and people of all ages to Christ as the source of peace. It's peace from a troubled conscience. Peace in the midst of a troubled world. Peace in the face of the coming judgment of God. Such a peace is only found in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. You know, God is the author of peace. There is no such thing as peace coming anywhere other than from God. God is the author of peace. He is termed the God of peace. How foolish it is. I can't avoid applying it to what I believe to be the major issue in our land today. And I'm not going to go around applying aspirins to people who have little colds and sniffles and ignore the fact there's a cancer at work in this country. There are many applications we can make to this truth, but I'm going to start here. If God is the God of peace, then how foolish it is to look to governments who are set up in opposition to God to give you peace. I just put up on my website yesterday evening an interview that's on the BBC website with Martin McGuinness, where he acknowledges, yes, he was in the IRA, and the IRA killed many people, policemen, UDR men, members of the security forces, individuals of all degrees. And the interviewer said, did you kill anyone? Am I looking into the face of a killer? I wonder if that's the case. Am I looking into the face of a killer? And McGuinness says, you can wonder all you like. Did he show any remorse? After all, he's supposed to be changed, isn't he? Well, he went on to say, he said, I never was a criminal and I'm not a criminal. He was part of an organization, that he admits, that killed people, but he doesn't count himself a criminal. The first mark of any degree of repentance is the acknowledgement of your wrongdoing. The thief on the cross immediately, grace wrought in his heart, said to his companion, we deserve to be here. He denounced himself. He said, what is happening to me is right. I deserve to die. I deserve being executed in this fashion. I have no complaints. Now, how can we expect peace to come from any setup that involves a man of that nature? And let's face it, it's not just a man, but it's a whole parcel of them. A whole parcel of them. No, God's the author of peace. God is called the God of peace. And it is as we obey Him that we walk in that peace and enjoy that peace. We're not going to find it outside of God. We're not going to find it in the paths of disobedience and defiance. Look at Romans chapter 16. I'm ever more anxious as my ministry draws to its close. I'm ever more anxious to establish what it is I'm saying on the basis of God's Word and God's Word alone. Romans chapter 16. And we're looking at the verse 20. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. How are you going to deal with the devil and the devil's agent? Form a coalition? No. Look to God to bruise them under his feet. That's what I look for. May God give us a day when we will see Sinn Féin IRA, because of their wickedness, if they repent not, bruised under the feet of God. Bruised under the feet of God. But you'll notice here, it says God will cause him to be, that is the devil, to be bruised under your feet. Not sitting by our side in coalition, but under our feet. That's where wicked men should be. We should be living in victory and in triumph over them. Please bear that in mind. But notice the title, as I've said. He's the God of peace. He's the God of peace. We could look at Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7. We could look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and the verse 16. And they repeat the same truths. That peace comes from God. Christ is the Lord of peace. He's the Prince of peace. There is no peace outside of God. And how vain, therefore, it is to look for peace in any other direction. The gospel is the message of peace. The gospel tells us how we may enjoy peace. That's what it's called, the message of peace. I repeat to you this simple truth. This time Romans chapter 10 and the verse 15. The title is given us there of the gospel. It's called the gospel of peace. Romans 10, verse 14, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. The message of the Bible, God's message unto man, is essentially a message of peace. The angels, when they broke through their invisibility, that night when Christ was born, they pronounced on earth good will, peace unto man. And it was going to come unto men through the gospel message. Therefore, being justified by faith, we read in Romans chapter 5 and the verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. The gospel. The gospel is God's container of peace. And it is to it alone that we must turn. Not to man's strategy and man's maneuverings and man's behind closed doors, secret deals and deceptions and chicanery of every order. That's not how peace is wrought out. It's by the public, plain preaching of the gospel. Preaching of the gospel. The changes brought in Europe by the reformers was wrought not by political deals. The liberty of Germany, the liberty of England, the liberty of Scotland, the liberty of many other country was not achieved by some old deal wrought out by the reformer with the agents of popery. No, the liberties of Europe were bestowed upon Europe by the public preaching of the Word of God, by men who suffered as they labored in that holy task. Peace is not served by any other proclamation than the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The cross is the fountain of peace. It's at the cross that peace bubbles forth. Colossians, the chapter 1 and the verse 21. These are familiar verses, but oh, how sweet they are. They never lose their sweetness, though familiar they may be. Colossians chapter 1 and the verse 20. We read, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. The blood of his cross. That's the ointment that brings peace. I remember well the evening that I found peace. And it was through the application of the blood of Jesus Christ to my troubled, sin-sick soul. And it has brought peace to me ever since. And if you're not saved tonight, going to church will not bring you peace. In fact, I hope if you are going to church looking for peace under the sound of God's word, you're distress will increase, and you will feel more and more your lack of peace, and that you will see that going to church and trying to be good and engaging in religious exercises will not bring peace. Only the blood of the Lamb brings peace. Peace is found through the blood of Christ. The Holy Spirit, He is the applier of this peace. He it is who conveys this peace unto the soul. Galatians chapter 2, chapter 5 rather, in the verse 22, indicates to us what it is the Spirit of God works in the heart as He begins to apply His grace. The fruit of the Spirit, verse 22, Galatians 5, is love, joy, peace. Love to God, joy in the knowledge of sins forgiven, and peace with God. That's what God the Holy Ghost does. You see, that we might rightly understand this matter, the three persons of the Godhead are all engaged in this great business of bringing peace to the sinner. God the Father planned it all in eternity. He planned that through the sacrifice of His Son, sinners will be saved. The Lord Jesus Christ, He voluntarily, willingly, readily, because of His love for those to whom or from whom He had received the elect, His love for the elect given Him of His Father, caused Him willingly to go to the cross and there offer up Himself a sacrifice, a payment for all the sins of His people, so delivering them from guilt, from condemnation. And the benefits of the Saviour's death on the cross are applied to us by God the Holy Ghost. You will find Christians who lose their sense of joy, lose their sense of peace, lose their sense of love. And you will discover that they have done so because they've wandered out of fellowship with the Spirit of God. They have to some degree vexed or grieved the Spirit of God by their willfulness, disobedience. And it has cost them the benefits of the Spirit of God applying God's peace to their heart. It's like having a doctor from whom you get a prescription. But the prescription is useless in itself. You've got to go to the chemist for it to be made up. And he conveys that which has been prescribed for you by the doctor. He conveys it to you over the counter. There's the answer. There's the cure. God the Holy Ghost brings to us the benefits of Christ's dying at the cross. Let me go a little further. Not only is it a fact that peace is only to be found through the Lord Jesus, He tells us that here, but He tells us something else. He says that believers in this world shall have trouble. The Savior wants us to know that. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. He speaks this to His disciples, in order to inform them, in order to let them know that they're going to have trouble in this world. They're going to have trouble in this world. Sometimes we forget that fact. Indeed, not sometimes, but I fear very often we forget this fact. We get an impression that somehow or other the gospel promises us if we get saved, everything from that moment is going to be rosy and wonderful. But it's not. It's not. You will discover that nowhere did God tell His people when He delivered them from Egypt that the path between Egypt and the promised land was going to be easy. God never said that. He said the promised land would be a land flowing with milk and honey, and he spoke so wondrously of it, and everything was true. But he didn't say that the path between Egypt and the promised land was flowing with milk and honey. Didn't say that. He said he would be with them, he would sustain them, he would carry them through. But he didn't promise them an easy journey. Sometimes we forget that. And consequently, when a little difficulty comes, we're in a panic-stricken state. And we begin to accuse God and question God and say, what's God doing? God's doing nothing more than he told you would happen. We're going to walk through a difficult world. Ye shall have tribulation, the Savior says. The word tribulation carries the meaning of pressure. It's like being between the jaws of something, and it's squeezing you. And in this world, we're under pressure. We're being squeezed from every side. There are those on every side of us who would destroy us. Now, can you imagine the Israelites, going back to that period of history, as they walked through the Red Sea? And they're towering on the right hand, on the left, with the walls of water. Now, I don't believe you could walk through that without feeling a sense of those walls were just wanting to burst forth and engulf everyone. That was what nature was seeking to do. God was holding back that water. Gravity was pushing. The weight of the water was pushing. Everything that was natural and normal was exerting a pressure to get into that hollow that God had made for his people to pass through. They were under pressure. And that's how it is. In every age, for all of the people of God, we're under pressure. We could just take a little quick look at some of the verses we read in John's Gospel, going back to chapter 14, that's only a page or so. Chapter 14, the verse 27 of that chapter. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Here's the Savior offering peace. Because his people were surrounded by that which would cause fear to overwhelm. Let your heart not be afraid. I'm giving you my peace. I'm assuring you that I'll keep the pressure from off you. Chapter 15, the verse 19 of that chapter, or verse 18 rather. If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before you. It hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you. The servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. So there's a spirit of persecution in this world, mounted against God's people. That's a pressure. In Acts 9, we read of Saul of Tarsus in his unconverted days, going out, breathing out slaughter against the people of God. That's what he was doing. Breathing out slaughter. And that's what the world is doing. It's breathing out its hatred against us. And we need to bear that in mind. That's why I find it amusingly ludicrous to expect Sinn Féin IRA to bring me peace or do that which will in any way assist in the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's ludicrous to even think it for a moment. The whole spirit of this world is opposed to us. The whole spirit of this world You don't have to teach a child to be against the gospel. The child is against the gospel. You mothers and fathers know that. You mothers and fathers know that. You have to pray. You have to exhort. There's times you have to exert your authority upon a child. They'll say, I don't want to go to Sunday school. Would you like to go to a wee party instead? Oh, yes, yes, yes. My sickness is gone. More than little children get suddenly delivered of their stomach upsets, you know. But this can often evaporate as soon as a child is given an alternative venue. Because they just don't like going to Sunday school. Don't like the gospel instinctively. Little ones sitting under the gospel. How often they have voiced their troubled heart. And you say to them, would you like to be seen? Not today. Not today. Tomorrow. Isn't it wonderful how they know that? It's not really wonderful at all. It's that instinct within them. It is abroad generally. Opposition to the things of God. You'll notice, please, and this is a sweet and precious truth, that our troubles are limited to this world. The Lord Jesus says, in the world ye shall have tribulation. He doesn't say in the world and afterwards. He just says in the world. That's where our tribulation will be. Once we leave this world, our tribulation is ended. It's ended. It's all over. Where the child of God is going to is a place of everlasting peace. No more sorrow, no more tears, no more persecution, no more troubling. They rest. They rest in peace, in glory. Perfect peace, glorious peace. I've often walked about graveyards and I've seen that on a tombstone. Peace, perfect peace. And I've often wondered, is it true? Is that true of the person whose name is on that tombstone? Because that perfect peace is claimed by many who know nothing at all of an eternal peace. When they died, they didn't go into everlasting peace. They went into everlasting damnation. For my dear friend, beyond this world, there is peace, but it's not for everyone. It's only for those who have found in Jesus Christ forgiveness of sins. Let me come to a third point I want to quickly make, and it's this. Some of the troubles that we may encounter in this world, I think I need to just mention them quickly. One of the troubles that the people of God may encounter in this world is to be ruled over by ungodly men. That's a great trouble. That's something we should dread. It's one of the reasons why my heart is troubled by events in this country. In Judges chapter 6, and I find many parallels in this chapter that frightens me. Parallels to our present situation. Judges chapter 6. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel. That's what God normally keeps off us, the hand of Midian. The hand of the enemy. God normally keeps that hand off us. As he kept back the waters in the Red Sea, so God keeps back the hand of the enemy. But there are times he lets that hand fall. When we sin. When we sin. That makes me tremble. It makes me afraid. The hand of the Midian prevailed against Israel, and because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. And so it was, when Israel had sown, that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites and the children of the east, even they came up against them, and they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth till they come unto Gaza and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor ass. impoverishment, no peace, a dread, a fear. You go on down and you read of Gideon thrashing wheat in the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. God's people in hiding. God's people sneaking about. Those who were in the promised land, the land that God had given them, but they were sneaking about in the dens and in the caves because of sin. Oh, I tell you, we may encounter tribulation because of our sin, and it's a tribulation of ungodly men ruling over us. God save us. God save us in Ulster. There's a dangerous game being played in Stormont, men and women. God save us. God save us from what will come of that. We're already under ungodly men. We are denied the rights and freedoms that are enjoyed by other members of the United Kingdom. We must accept a form of government that in ordinary circumstances we would utterly reject. We have no say. You can vote for whoever you like, but you'll get the government that London says you should get. Not like any other people. People talk about Sinn Féin has been democratically elected. No, they haven't. No, they haven't. There was an elder saying to me after the presbytery on Friday night. He says, you know, the Conservatives have a mandate, but they're not in government because they didn't get enough votes. Oh, Sinn Féin have a mandate from a small section of the community, but they shouldn't be in government. It's part of the consequences of sin that we should find ourselves under the rule of evil men. Some of the troubles that we shall encounter. Why? An atmosphere of mocking is another one. You read in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 36 of those who, faithful to God, endured cruel mockings. Cruel mockings. The Lord Jesus encountered cruel mockings. He was mocked by Herod and the soldiers and then returned. And we read the soldiers of Pontius Pilate likewise took up the mocking. And then the people who watched him carrying his cross to Calvary mocked him. And when they nailed him to the cross, they mocked him. And even one of those, indeed the two of those, nailed either side of him at Calvary, mocked him. Until one of them was saved by the grace of God. The Lord Jesus Christ was mocked to the last breath. The last breath. That can happen. The reason it's not happening now, you know, stems from God's blessing on this country in the past. And the measure of restraint that God has exercised through his word on this country in the past. Let there be a declining of the preaching, the full preaching of God's truth, and that restraint will decline. Like a man who neglects the fences on his farm, it'll not be long until one after another the animals on his farm begin to stray and break through into other people's properties. God, by the preaching of the word, have kept his people well fenced. But there's a neglecting of the fences. And the enemy is finding holes. The devil couldn't find a hole in the hedge against Job or around Job. Couldn't get in. God kept the hedge in good shape. But if we spurn God's truth and turn from him, the hedge will develop holes. Like the psalm says, the wild boar out of the woods has come in, breached the hedges, and has begun to tear up the vine. God save us from that day happening. The loss of our goods. Hebrews chapter 10, the verse 34, Paul wrote to believers and he said, you took the spoiling of your goods cheerfully. We have enjoyed comparative peace in this country for a long, long time. Comparative security. And we're blinded to the nature of this world because of that. If we were living in some of the far eastern countries where Muslims rule, if we're living in Afghanistan or Iraq or Iran and we love the Lord, a mob could break through at any moment into this building, brutally beat every one of us, take our lives if they thought fit, destroy the building, burn it to the ground, and there wouldn't be one to say a word to them. But we have lived in a country where God has preserved us from such treatment. Oh, it was the experience of our forefathers. Let me tell you, not more than 2 miles away, when the old Methodists were first starting out in Ireland, there were meetings over there at Sedair, and there was one occasion when a mob, a Church of Ireland mob, broke in upon one of their meetings and beat a woman so severely she was paralyzed the remaining days of her life, which weren't very many. Not that far away from here. A couple of miles away. But you see, those things are in the distant past, we think. Those things couldn't happen now. Let me tell you, they could happen again, all right. They could happen again. The boys that go down this road and throw their rubbish over the wall and their beer cans here and at the end of my driveway. If they were let loose, they'd throw a lot more than beer cans. And you need to waken up to it, Christian. This is not a fantasy or a horrible dream that I'm enduring and it's nothing to it. This is the truth of God. God's people in the past had to endure the loss of their property, taken from them without any recourse to justice. They had to just suffer it. And it could happen again. Because in this world you shall have tribulation. A cutting off from God's house is the greatest of all tribulations, I believe. In Psalm 137, there is that sad psalm. Psalm 137. By the rivers of Babylon there we sat down, yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they that carried us away captive required of us a song, and they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? Cut off from God's house. Oh, young people, listen to me. God forbid that you may feel it a drudgery to come to God's house. But if you do feel it drudgery, and if you do feel it a wearisome thing to sit in God's house and listen to God's word, I pray you'll never come on a day when it's taken from you, for you learn the value of God's word then. You learn the value of it then, I tell you. There's a heart beating in your breast at this moment. You never give a thought to it. You don't sense it, feel it, notice it. But let disease take hold upon it. And you will think on the days of your health in a different way than you think upon your health at this moment. God spare us from losing our gospel blessings and being cut off from the means of grace. You know, there is a contempt manifested today among many believers concerning the old paths. That is frightening and alarming. And it can only result, if it goes on, in our losing the old paths. I'll close with one final thought. Irrespective of what trouble may come, even of all the things that I have suggested, and there's 1,000 other things that I could have, but irrespective of all these things came upon us, we as believers may still enjoy God's peace. Paul enjoyed God's peace and God's joy in the prison at Philippi.
even though that back of his must have been on fire with pain and agony. When the other disciples earlier in the book of the Acts likewise suffered reproach, they went out of the place where they had suffered reproach rejoicing. They possessed the peace and the joy of God in the midst of their tribulations. Let me just notice with you very quickly that the peace and the joy of God can only be enjoyed in the midst of tribulation, and indeed in any time, through the Word of God. It says it here. Look at the verse. These things have I spoken unto you, that ye might have peace. The words of the Lord Jesus are the means of peace. These things have I spoken unto you. What he had just said to them was in order that they might have peace. Oh, how I wish I could take time to go through verses that we have set down in connection with this. I'll go to one. It's in Luke's Gospel, chapter 1. It's the verse 79 of that first chapter. Luke chapter 1 and the verse 79. Speaking of the Lord Jesus, we find here that the Father of John the Baptist is prophesying. He says he is to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. The light of God is to guide our feet into the way of peace. The Word of God is to guide our feet into the way of peace. We must ever seek to dwell close to Him, close to the Lord Jesus, for there is peace. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Psalm 16, verse 11. It's in the presence of God that we enjoy peace. Don't ever stray from Him, Christian. Don't ever stray from Him. We must avoid evil. 1 Peter chapter 3 and the verse 11. And here we conclude our study. 1 Peter chapter 3, the verse 11. Well, look at verse 10. He that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew, avoid. Eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. To enjoy peace, you've got to keep away from sin. Keep away from disobedience. Keep away from rebellion. You've got to look to God's Word to bring you to peace. You've got to get close to Christ to enjoy peace. You've got to keep away from sin. That's why it says, when the righteous are in authority, peace is the consequence. Blessing is the consequence. When the righteous, the fearers of God's Word. May God apply His Word to our hearts this evening by His grace. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank Thee that the Lord Jesus Christ is our peace. He has made peace with God through the blood of His cross. And by the applying of that blood to our hearts, we may know the peace of God that passeth all understanding. Now, Lord, keep us in peace. Keep us in peace, O God, by keeping us in submission to Thy will. Deliver us from evil. Deliver us from sin. God, have mercy on our country. And we pray for Dr. Paisley. God, have mercy. Oh, God, have mercy. As Thou dost see the need of mercy. Write Your Word on all of our hearts for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.